Out My Back Door is a song recorded by American band Creedence Clearwater Revival and written by the band's lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter, John Fogerty. It was included on their 1970 album, Cosmos Factory, the group's sixth album. The song's lyrics, filled with colorful dreamlike imagery, led some to believe that the song was about drugs. According to a drug theory, the flying spoon in the song was a cocaine spoon, and the crazy animal images were an acid trip. Fogerty, however, has stated in interviews that the song was actually written for his then 3-year-old son, Josh, and that he was writing from the viewpoint and imagination of a child. I knew he would love it if he heard me on the radio singing, doo, 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 looking out my back door. Fogerty has also said that the reference to a grave passing by was inspired by the Dr. Seuss, and I think I started on Mulberry Street. Also, looking out my back door is probably the only rock reference to Buck Owens. Is a song written by James Packow for the group Chicago and recorded for their album Chicago 7, which was released in 1974. It was the first single released from that album and reached number 9 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Thank you. Coasters are a rhythm and blues rock and roll vocal group that had a string of hits in the late 1950s, beginning with Searching and Youngblood. Their most memorable songs were written by the songwriting and producing team of Livia and Solar. Although the Coasters originated outside of mainstream doo-wop, their records were so frequently imitated that they became an important part of the doo-wop legacy throughout the 1960s. Although the group only had one national number one hit with the Yakety Yak, the Coasters did hit number one on the rhythm and blues charts with Poison Ivy. Though recorded in the latter part of 1959, it was however covered by the Rolling Stones in the early 60s.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in touch. You can look, but you better not touch. Poison Ivy, poison Ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison Ivy comes a creeping around. She's pretty as a daisy, crazy. She'll really do you in if you let her get under your skin. Poison Ivy, poison Ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison Ivy comes a creeping around. Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. Common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya. Poison Ivy, Lord, will make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound the minute you start to mess around. Poison Ivy, poison Ivy. Poison Ivy comes a-creeping around. Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya. Poison Ivy, Lord, will make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound the minute you start to mess around. Poison Ivy, poison Ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison Ivy comes a creeping around.
It's Too Late to Turn Back Now was written by Eddie Cornelius for the singing group Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. It was a hit for the group in 1972. It rose to number 5 on the U.S. Rhythm and Blues chart and number 2 on the Hot 100. The group broke up in 1976 when lead singer Edward Carter joined a black blues band in Miami and adopted the name Prince Gideon Israel.
Thing called love. telephoning her at least 10 times a day.
Appeared on the 1977 album CSN. The song was written by Graham Nash from an immediate point of view, that of going on a concert tour and having to leave loved ones behind. Nash was in fact about to go on tour with David Crosby and was waiting to go to the airport. Nash composed "Just the Song Before I Go" on a dare. The young man who was taking him to the airport was talking to Nash about songwriting and finally said to Nash, "We've got 15 minutes, but you can't write a song that time." Nash did just that.
To whom it may concern, just
Frequently reinventing his music and image, Bowie is widely regarded as an influential innovator, particularly for his work throughout the 70s. Although he released an album and numerous singles earlier, David Bowie first caught the eye and the ear of the public in the autumn of 1969 when his space-age mini-melodrama Space Oddity reached the top five of the UK singles chart. After a three-year period of experimentation, he reemerged in 1972 during the glam rock era as a flamboyant, androgynous alter ego, Ziggy Stardust, spearheaded by the hit single Starman and the album The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The relatively short-lived Ziggy persona epitomized a career often marked by musical innovation, reinventation, and a striking visual presentation. In 1975, Bowie achieved his first major American crossover success with the number one single, Fame. Here's an interesting side note on the song. The Young American sessions were mostly concluded in late 1974. The material, however, was delayed while Bowie was trying to end his contract with manager Tony DeFries. At this time, he was staying in New York and often met and jammed with John Lennon. This led to a one-day session at the Power Plant Studio in January of 1975. There, Bowie contacted several members of his touring band, and they first recorded a cover of the Beatles' Across the Universe. Then a new song called Fame, inspired by a guitar riff written by Carlos Alomar, and of the title from Lennon. Despite only having minor contributions, Lennon was given co-writing credit due to the lyrics, promoting the nature of celebrity, being inspired by conversations that he had had with Bowie on the subject, and because Bowie acknowledged that Lennon sang Fame over Alomar's guitar riff and was actually the catalyst for the song. Fame has been covered by Duran Duran, The Eurythmics, Dave Matthews Band, George Michael, Pearl Jam, and of all people, Vanilla Ice. You are listening to WRFR 93.3 Rockland, 99.3 Camden. Off their debut self-titled album, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, was the band's first hit single, Sylvia's Mother. Shel Silverstein wrote this parody of teen heartbreak songs. It was delivered often with very dramatic emotions. However, many fans that have seen the band perform this single live often relay that the band often delivered the song very dramatically, but would often mime and overreact, making it clear that the band themselves found the song quite funny. In 1972, Silverstein told the Rolling Stone magazine that there really was a Sylvia. "I just changed the last name," he said, "not to protect the innocent, just because their last name didn't fit. It happened about 8 years ago, and pretty much the way it was in the song. I called Sylvia, and her mother answered and said, 'She can't talk to you.' I said, 'Why not?' Her mother said that she was packing and was leaving to get married, which was a big surprise to me. The guy was in Mexico and was a bullfighter and a painter. I thought that was like being a combination of brain surgeon and encyclopedia salesman. Her mother did finally let me talk to her, but her last words, 'Shell, don't spoil it.' For about 10 seconds, I had this ego charge, as if I really could spoil it. I couldn't have spoiled it with a sledgehammer." Silverstein was a popular author and songwriter who wrote for both children and adults. He was a writer and cartoonist for Playboy magazine and a best-selling author of children's poems. He most notably wrote A Boy Named Sue for Johnny Cash and another single for Dr. Hook, the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's trying to start a new life of her own. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's happy, so why don't you leave us alone? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please.
Please, Mr. Seafree, I just gotta talk to her.
I'll only keep her a while. Sylvia's packing, she's gone to leave him today. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's marrying a fella down Galveston way. Sylvia's mother says, please don't say nothing to make us start crying and stay. And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes,
please. This is a just gotta talk to her.
I'll only keep her a while. Sylvia's hurrying, she's catching the 9 o'clock train. Sylvia's mother says, take your umbrella, 'cause Sylvia's starting to rain. And Sylvia's mother says, thank you for calling. And girl, won't you come back again? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes.
Eagles bass player Timothy V. Schmidt, who replaced Randy Meisner in 1977, sang lead and was the primary songwriter for the Eagles song I Can't Tell You Why. Len Frey played lead guitar on this song, which was rare at the time since Don Felder or Joe Walsh usually played lead, relegating Frey to rhythm. This was the first song that the Eagles completed for their album, The Long Run. They finished the song in March of 1978, but the album took another 19 months to complete and wasn't released until September of 1979. It was the Eagles' last studio album until they reformed it in 1994 when Help Reached Over. An interesting fact here is that the background vocals were performed by none other than Jimmy Buffett. Two Tickets to Paradise is a song by American rock singer Eddie Money from his album Eddie Money in 1977. It was released as a single and reached number 22 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Money wrote the song about his girlfriend at the time. His girlfriend's mother wanted her to marry a doctor or a lawyer, not a musician. Money wrote the song as a plea to take her away. Money still performs an average of 60 concerts a year, has appeared on television shows such as The King of Queens as himself, and the unlikely husband of Phoebe on The Drew Carey Show. He currently resides in California and is very active in his involvement with St. Jude Hospital. Song by the Electric Light Orchestra. The song was the last track from the album Discovery. This was the first song by ELO that did not include a string section. A commonly featured lyric in the song is the perception that following the title line, Jeff Lynne shouts a Baruch. However, according to liner notes for the album, he is actually singing a made-up word similar to the German word Baruch, which is a type of greeting. However, after the song released, so many people had misinterpreted the word as Bruce, the band actually changed the lyric and began to sing the word as Bruce.
Sunshine, You Think, Lean on Me, and Grandma's Hands. Satan Sunshine, who released as a single in September of 1971, and reached number 6 on the U.S. Rhythm and Blues chart and number 3 on the U.S. pop chart. Woods originally intended to write more lyrics for the part of the song where he repeats the phrase "I know" 26 times, but the other recording musicians in the set told him to leave it as it was. Woods said, "I was just a factory worker hovering around," so they said, "Leave it." I loved it.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wondered if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, 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 I know. I know, I know, I know, I know. Hey, I ought to leave the young thing alone. But ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. This house just ain't no home. Goes away.
If you have a favorite song from the 60s or the 70s and you would like to have it played, please feel free to write. My email is phantomtracks@gmail.com. Also, I'm always hungry for songs and band info, so if you have some really neat facts about a band or about their songs, feel free to send it along.
Tambourine. done.